And now we go live to President Donald Trump's press conference.
Listen, everyone. I know everyone's got questions about the wall. They want to know about the budget. They want to know about North Korea.
Ooh, over here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing some new socks, Mr. President. Where are those from?
That's right. These are the most luxurious socks you'll ever see in your entire life. They're from Mack Weldon. MackWeldon.com. It's great. It's wonderful. Everyone says Mack Weldon's amazing.
Mack Weldon, well, what do they believe in?
They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. I like things simple. Simple, like my hair. It's fantastic.
What can you get on the website?
You can get anything on the website. I'm talking shirts. You can get shoes, undershirts. Believe me. You can even hoodies and sweatpants. Lord knows I love sweatpants. Oh my God, I love sweatpants. They're amazing.
I wear a lot of underwear, but I sweat a lot, so I need underwear that makes me not sweat and smell.
Totally understand. I play golf every weekend. Normally I smell. Normally it's horrible. But Mack Weldon has silver underwear and shirts. Naturally antimicrobial. That means you don't smell. Oh, antimicrobial. That's a word.
A final question, Mr. President. Are these clothes comfortable?
Oh, they're amazingly comfortable. Look at me. Normally, I look fat as hell.
But what if I don't like my first pair?
That's okay. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. They'll still refund you. They don't even ask questions. And I love that. I love not being asked questions because normally I don't know the answers.
I want to say something too.
You shut up.
I am Melania.
I get her and the maid mixed up all the time. It's
I like Mack Weldon too because of the socks and the underwear. Sometimes the Donald lets me wear shirts.
All right, no more questions. I'm signing an executive order right now. Everyone has to go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off all your men's merchandise using promo code ALN. MackWeldon.com, 20% off, promo code ALN. Bigly, believe me.
Last question, why is Melania in that cage?
Please help me.
Will someone let Melania out eventually?
Please help me.
Give her a food dish or something.
Please, let me sleep in the bed.
Do we have a banana? She loves bananas.
If you like clothes that feel good and are the most comfortable clothes of all time, go to MackWeldon.com right now and pick from underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that will make you feel good about your life. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and use promo code ALN and get 20% off your order. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code ALN, and get 20% off your order. I'm telling you, these clothes are the shit. Brad and I love them. We wear them all the time. Brad?
I'm wearing mine right now.
Yep, and actually you're wearing only the underwear.
Damn right.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. My voice, as you can hear, is recovering. I'm in recovery mode from Montreal. The Just for Laughs Comedy Festival was this past week. Oh, my God. What a festival. The amount of laughing and drinking and singing and schmoozing was at an all-time high. All the shows were great. The festival was run incredibly by Montreal and all the people involved, Nick and Bruce. And it's an amazing festival. If you ever get a chance to go to Montreal, you got to go. It's just like, it's like comedy camp. And if you get a pass, you can just hang out at these shows and bars and venues and just the great crowds. And Seinfeld's there, and Joel McHale and Howie Mandel and Chris D'Elia and Little Rel and the Goddamn Comedy Jam and John Mulaney and Sashir Zameda and Big J. Ogerson, Dan Soder, Colin Jost, Michael Che. It was unbelievable. The final show I did was the Goddamn Comedy Jam at 9:15 in the lobby of the the quad at like, oh my God, it must have been 9:15 in front of 15,000 people. And I sang What's Up by the Four Non Blondes. It was a goddamn comedy jam in front of 15,000 people. I couldn't fucking believe it, dude. It was the closest to a rock star I'll ever feel. It's on my Instagram. That was unbelievable. Shout out to Josh for letting me get on that show. And it was a blast. And taking that that blasty blast vibe and bringing it into Monday, because today's episode is, holy shit, the voice of many characters on one of my favorite shows of all time, and probably yours. He voices Cleveland, Greased Up Deaf Guy, Consuela, Herbert, countless others. He's an amazing actor, sketch dude, father, voice actor, of course, from Family Guy, The Cleveland Show, American Dad. It's the one and only Mike Henry, baby. Holy shit. My boy Kevin Biggins, who's a writer, producer on Family Guy, past guest of the ALN podcast, put me in touch with Mike. He was so cool and kind to come over and share stories of growing up in Virginia, meeting Seth MacFarlane, journeying to L.A., getting involved with Family Guy, creating the voice of Cleveland and how Herbert was based on an old acting teacher, the amount of theater he did in high school and college and sports, and then his new show, Orville, on Fox coming out in October, kind of a Star Trek spoof comedy with Seth MacFarlane. Gonna be fucking hilarious. That's coming out in October. We talk about all that. It's amazing. And we conclude the podcast with a prank call to the Thai restaurant as, excuse me, as Cleveland. And it's one of the funniest pranks we've had on this on this podcast. So enjoy the hell out of this episode and hit up Mike. Tell him that you loved him on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Big Preesh. That's BigPreesh. He's out on Instagram too. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. Brad is Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Funny Brad on Twitter. Tour dates this week. Guess what? Tomorrow and Wednesday, I'm somehow going to pull it off. I'm going to get my voice back. I will. I'm doing the Comedy Works South in Denver, Colorado. So pumped. August 2nd and 3rd, 7:30 shows each night. Avery Pearson coming with me to do some improvised songs off the crowd. As long as my voice holds up, we will fucking go as long as we can because we only got one show each night. Comedy Works South, August 1st and 2nd, 7:30 each night. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then August 4th and 5th, I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store in San Diego, bringing Avery once again. I love San Diego. I love the La Jolla Comedy Store. Come see us August 4th and 5th. Two shows each night. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend is at the Omaha Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska, August 3rd through the 6th. Go see Brad in Omaha at the Funny Bone, August 3rd through the 6th. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I think that's all for now. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past episodes and our merch. New merch in sight will be up in the next 2 weeks, which I'm so pumped about. So now that we got the tour dates, merch info, and Twitter handles out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night Podcast with the one and only, the voice of Cleveland from Family Guy. Fuck. It's Mike Henry.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Because you said weed isn't legal in Virginia. I don't think teaching evolution is legal in Virginia.
No,
so that doesn't necessarily surprise me.
Right.
And is that a place where you grew up?
I grew up in Richmond, yeah. Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Everything I know about Richmond, Virginia, I know from comedy clubs. So I know they have a Funny Bone there.
Yep.
I know it's called, it's at a mall called Short Pump.
You know
which
it.
if I'm pretty sure if I did porn, Short Pump would be my porn name.
That's good. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So are we rolling now?
Yeah.
You can hug this as much as possible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or
he is a goddamn
You know how to use a fucking mic.
Yeah, hey, man, I wasn't sure we were on.
What was the...
That's nice.
What was the, and I want to hear more of your backstory in Virginia, like the first, like when you sit down to any mic situation, do you ever have flashbacks to like the first VO job you did or the first like just anything, or is it so second nature now where you're just like.
I just instinctively cup the bass and start crying. I'm not sure what happened.
So flashbacks to college.
Well, maybe.
Your first interaction with your uncle.
You know what? Don't press this.
Yeah. Brad, it's the first 5 minutes. You don't make a guest cry until
listen,
the 15-minute mark.
Listen, this is a man who's been interviewed by James Lipton. So yeah,
that's right.
So I have to go for the jugular. I have to get something out of you that James did not.
And isn't it amazing, by the way, that Brad said that and you were like, oh yeah, like so much dope shit has happened in your life that's like a oh yeah moment.
No, that
Lipton to me is like,
that was big bucket list, man. That was we did the Family Guy cast when we were I don't know, getting hot, and then we started the Cleveland Show, and I was on there, and he was cool. He was a nice as shit guy. He was really a cool guy. It surprised me.
Is it strange knowing that this is a guy that like talks to like Daniel Day-Lewis and goes like, "What is the thought process behind you?" And now he's looking at you like, So why is Cleveland leaving his wife?
What's right. What is Consuela's favorite right. curse word?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not telling you. No, suck off. I don't like
this. Oh, wait. No joke. I didn't know the full repertoire of all the voices that you did on the show. I just knew Cleveland. And right. thank you. And in
hi, Cleveland Brown. Nice to meet you.
In doing the
Mr.
research.
Mr. Brown? Don't. Ah, that's my... Mr. Please, call me Cleveland. Mr. Brown is my penis's name.
I was maybe most excited to find out that you do Consuela.
Thank you.
That may be my favorite character in the show, oddly enough. And that just means I'm very racist.
Now, I grew up poor. I never had a cleaning lady. But yeah. when I lived in L.A., I don't know, this was like 15 years ago, and we had a cleaning lady who just would not do stuff the way you asked, but she was so sweet and so nice that you were at her mercy.
So was that a character you pitched?
Oh yeah, no, I pitched all those.
Oh okay.
No shit.
Oh yeah, no, I go way back with Seth.
Yeah,
he and my brother,
before the show,
he and my brother Patrick went to RISD together. Okay. And they studied film and animation,
Rhode
and,
Island
School of Design.
Okay.
David Byrne went mm-hmm. there, and I don't know, a bunch of people, but so I acted in my brother's films, and Seth and I cracked each other up. And when he sold Family Guy, I was actually in New York wanting to be on SNL, and I was sort of on that path, I thought, and maybe a year or two away. And Seth called and said he sold his show, and so I came out and just pitched all these guys in the room.
So did he say, hey, I mean, he was just...
He wanted me to help create characters to flesh out the universe and also write gags, because I was doing commercial parodies and shooting all these crazy short films.
So comedy's been in your blood since the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously, like, your vocal talents, but I mean, like, so you had a mindset, you were like, all right, acting is, like, SNL and that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you even have thoughts of, like... voicing cartoons, or was that
none
like,
of it? Total sidetrack.
One of those things where you're like, if I stumble into it because of the acting going well and people.
Yeah, back in 1997, I made $4,000. It still shows up on my security.
Hell yeah.
Security statement. And so that was a year, or the next year was when Family Guy happened. And I was living with Rob Hubel.
Yeah.
And doing UCB classes.
They were doing Human Giant
like
probably
that.
At the time, right? Or getting
he was
ready?
Just about to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I had been. I moved out here when I was 24 to LA, and I did Groundlinks classes.
Nice.
And took UCLA screenwriting at night classes and AFI seminars and all this stuff. Waited on OJ and Nicole.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
At the Brentwood Daily Grill. And
I know that. Yeah.
When she left, he went to the bar and got some chick's number, and it was like, wow, this guy is
wow,
way too smooth.
Just and, like it, just like that. Like, well, she's my wife isn't here for a minute and a half.
Right.
So obviously this is what I do now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that wow.
So he'll be free to do it again in a few weeks.
Yeah, we just found that out.
Yeah.
Is Greased Up Deaf Guy based on OJ then? Is that
yes. Yeah. You're never gonna catch him.
He's slippery. He gets away.
That's what I call
Greased
the John Stockton.
That was a late night that was a late night gag room at Family Guy. You know, they'd spin off four or five people to go write a joke or whatever, mm-hmm. and we had to do a company picnic joke. And we were just punch drunk, and I don't know if I can do the voice now because I'm tired and hungover,
yeah.
but, you know.
You're never going
to... Yeah, sort of.
You're never going to catch me. Forget about it. You're wasting your time. Go do something else. They are neck near.
And,
when I first saw that shit, it was like...
the most random.
It was, I mean, the first episode I saw was the Pawtucket Patriot, like, Willy Wonka, like...
Right.
And that just, like, blew my fucking mind. I was a sophomore in college at USC, and, like, my buddies were like, oh, I think you'd really like the show. I think it was when the DVDs had come out, right? This was 2003.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. They expected to sell 100,000 of those, by the way, and sold 3 million.
Oh, guess what? Yeah. Probably 100,000 were in my fraternity, because it was like...
Why you're a big fraternity.
it was, I mean, and then, so then seeing that episode and then like seeing the Greased Up Deaf Guy character, it was just like, oh, this show is thinking like way outside the box. You know what I'm saying? As far as like, because you'd never see, obviously it's like, I feel like what the show is prides itself on is like, you just don't see a lot of stuff coming.
Seth is so great. He, he just would not take no for an answer getting notes. And, mm-hmm. you know, he had this strong core. And let me just point out, he drew the characters, did the original animation on his kitchen table. Fox gave him some money to do a presentation. He drew the whole thing and did music, you know, just on his keyboard or whatever. And, you know, obviously does the voices, wrote the whole thing. You know,
That's insane.
He is so freaking talented. And just he's a step removed. You know, he's like, he's just on working at another, on another plane. And
has he always been that way? I mean,
he's always been that way. And he thankfully likes what I do, and I get to go on that ride. And
yeah,
so we're just totally fucking around.
Every project
really?
He does.
You know, it's got to be on point. It's got to be, you know, the jokes have to be on, not necessarily even on story, because we do these non sequitur cutaways, but, you know, it's got to be somewhat relevant or or shoehornable.
Did it take
as
a moment?
As long as it's funny.
Did it take a moment for Fox to get on board with, like, just what, like, how early on did the show know, like, all right, cool, like, we now know, like, kind of the formula for what we're doing as far as, like, how many cutaways or like just the looseness of the show?
There was no formula to it. It was just sort of, you know, his, if you've ever seen on the DVD extras, that was his student film. He did basically the pitch for Family Guy. And, you know, I don't think they really got it until we came back from being canceled. And we were joking about this over the weekend. There was no internet. And we were in the writer's room and we were joking about sending the PA to the library to get some research material. This was 1998.
Oh, my God.
So, and then talk about tailor-made for the internet, you know, boom. It just hit.
Timing was fucking perfect.
Yeah, and those gags are anywhere from 5 seconds to,
some of the
90 seconds.
Yeah, some of the chicken fights are about five and a half minutes, where it has nothing to do with the story, but hey, let's just do
this. Brilliant. The animators are ridiculous. Joe Vox, Don Bianchi, all these guys are you know, you just say, here's basically what's happening. There's a big fight with a chicken, and they're at a mall. Go. And
so it's not that, I mean, it's, they're storyboarded out, right? But I mean,
oh, of course,
but they're,
but the, at this point it's great for the writers, because we're like, here's a 40 second you know, chicken fight.
Yeah,
and they do it. I mean, it's love doing it.
If you're running an episode that's running 19 and a half minutes,
right,
that needs to be 22 minutes,
right,
chicken fight.
Or if it's 24 minutes, we'll cut the chicken fight, put in the next episode.
And the thing, and I know you guys have famously been compared to The Simpsons so much that there was that amazing crossover episode
that Biggins wrote.
Yeah, he did.
Unbelievable.
But, every word. He wrote every word.
Unbelievable.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No one writes every word.
Yeah. But like, you and The Simpsons both, yes, there are the core characters, there's the family, but then there's so many characters.
Yeah.
There's so, and well defined.
Yeah.
Whether it be greased up deaf guy, or whether it be, like, there's so many well defined characters that it's almost like you guys don't have a limit of, like, no.
Tom Tucker. I mean, it's like the amount.
Yeah.
Do you have? I don't know. Is there
somewhere? There's a big drawing of it, all the characters. Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just massive. Like it's almost like when you're writing an episode, is there an effort to put
a new character?
Or to make sure they all get their spot, or like, is it just this massive cavalcade you can choose from?
Yeah, you find storylines that'll accommodate whatever, or you can pop, you know, oh no, just, you know, well, he's a bee now, you know, just whatever. When something's funny or a character's funny, in my opinion, the best comedy comes out of character and not jokes.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost like a library now, where you know what a character would do, and, or, you know, you can start by what they've done and push it.
Yeah. Where did you learn even that you could do voices? And I'm sure you've been asked that a million times.
I always imitated everybody in high school and college, and we'd be sitting around a dorm room, you know, taking big, huge bong hits with a towel on
the 5 foot bong. We would hit that at USC and watch Family Guy nonstop.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. Well, that's how we wrote it.
Yeah.
No, ironically, like, no one's buzzed for the most part writing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you pretty much have to have,
you gotta have all your wits about. Yeah.
I had a terrible story. Like, one time I went ahead and we thought we were going to leave at a certain time, and a few of us ate a brownie and we got to stay for dinner and fix this thing. And it was the longest, like, 3 hours of my life. Sitting in the room trying to, all right, do I usually look at people when I pitch a joke, or do I look down?
Overanalyzing everything.
What happened in the last two pages again? Like, I just, you know, it was a nightmare. But then after about an hour, I really hit a groove and I felt like Michael Jordan.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And that lasted for, you know, 20 minutes, and then I was completely lost again. And
so it's really, because I was the same way with just any sort of voice. Like, it was just all mimicking, like teachers, friends. To get, like, to make people laugh, right?
Yes.
And were there, I don't know, what friends or teachers were, like, your go-tos? Like, who were some of the first ones you did?
gosh, it was usually teachers.
Yeah.
And just, mm-hmm. There was a teacher, a history teacher, guy by the name of Neil Weiser. And he would
I like
he was
him already.
Real casual and just, you know, he was just kind of a, you know, kind of a goofball looking guy, but just so smooth. You know, like we had a good time with him and, you know, just.
And so after class, if you can do that voice, and then for your friends, if you're like putting that teacher now in different scenarios.
Oh, yeah, you know, as I was beating off into my sock. Yeah.
You
know. It was just like, you know, you're taking. And
the best.
That's what happened with Herbert, actually. He was. I worked at a grocery store in high school.
Me too.
And
Herbert is the pedophile guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was at Comic-Con, and some guy had him tattooed on his leg the other day.
I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah, who gets an animated pedophile tattooed
on
your leg?
Dude, a super fan, man.
Yeah, I don't know. He said he was the oldest guy in his platoon somewhere, and so they called him old man, and so he got it, and hey, now I got a pedophile on my leg. But he was.
What do you say to that?
It's like the weird...
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
it's like the weirdest Seinfeld yada yada thing. Like, hey, I was watching this show. There's a pedophile and yada yada yada.
Right.
I have a tattoo of a pedophile on my leg.
That's funny.
Like,
but Herbert was this old man who, you know, they had a lot of retired old guys pushing groceries out, and he was just nice old guy, and had like a big Windsor knot in his tie, and I would just always imitate him back then, just being like, "Hey, can I squeeze your melons?" You know, just I can't do his voice right now. I'm tired, but
I don't know how you do the whistle like mid.
So then we brought up, I started pitching that voice in the writer's room, and then one pedophile joke, and it was like a spark in a dry forest. So
it's like the most, I mean, the brilliance of it is like, you almost don't mind if you see him do some pedophile-y shit.
Well,
because he's that likable.
He's a coyote.
Yes.
He's never going to catch a river.
Yeah.
And if he did, it would be horrible.
Well, because he caught Chris, though.
Right.
In that one arc where he's, like, living with him, but then he's so old, he can't really get him to do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just like, well, can you rake leaves without your shirt on? And that's about, as far as he can go.
Yeah.
Dude, so when you,
it's all okay, guys. It's all okay. Yeah. I've justified this a long time ago.
It's the grocery store, by the way, for me too, was like, I mean, the cast of characters, I'm sure, I mean, I'm surprised hasn't been more attempts to do a grocery store show.
Right.
But it's like, I mean,
the just career, the career managers, you know, and then
yeah.
everyone else.
Dude, I had a military guy who was the, you know, produce guy and just like so fucking serious about the new lettuce that was coming in, like an old, like pervy, like woman in the bakery named Mary, who just like would always shake her old titties at me because I was this young high school kid, and like,
nice.
I mean, just you know, it was. And we had a kid with Down syndrome bagging groceries that like would always
funny.
That's the kicker.
How many?
Who's also a ladies man.
How many people in your like group of friends were also trying to do comedy?
Just me, man.
Yeah.
I was with. A different crowd. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia,
yeah.
and it was a conservative bunch. I was the poor kid with a scholarship to the nice private school, actually, mm-hmm. where Russell Wilson went.
No shit.
Your football
My guy.
Guy. Yeah, mm-hmm. he blew. I mean, it was ridiculous. I caught him a couple times playing, and it was literally like 9 touchdowns a game, either running or throwing, and it was...
So you kind of knew you could...
It was fish in a barrel for him. I mean, it was really cool. It's been cool to watch his...
Yeah, right? So are you a Hawks fan because of that?
I'm a Cowboys fan.
Good for you.
I like the Hawks for a little while.
All right, there's the door.
Well, the Hawks were hot, but then when they were hot and they played the Cowboys and somebody sacked Russell, I just, you know, I was like, get his ass. You know, I was like, fire.
You guys,
who do you like, the Redskins?
No, well, I'm not a racist with a crazy owner. No, I am a lifelong Denver Broncos fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And the only
why
reason,
are you showing me the door?
The only reason why I have any ill will towards the Cowboys, I had a roommate in college 3 years. When I say the biggest Cowboys fan of all time,
right.
I mean, he would go to bed and literally play the radio calls from the Cowboys Super Bowl wins in the 90s into his headphones, and that's how he went to bed.
What
like
a dick.
So that was my experience.
You know what? Like, I'll leave.
Yeah.
That's it. I get it.
I had no experience with the Cowboys. I had no feelings towards them at all. But then when you're with a guy who's that obsessed, nothing was more fun than watching the Cowboys lose and then him lose his shit.
Absolutely.
And to this day, that's who I text.
Right. That's funny.
He's thinking about naming his, if he has a daughter, naming her Elway.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right.
Right?
There's no, I don't know, you don't want to saddle her with sex jokes. I'm trying to think, is there anything with Elway?
Yeah. Isn't that weird that when you, like...
Cunnel Elway?
Cunnel Elway? You have kids, right?
I do.
Yeah, and that's something you have to consider when naming, it's like, okay,
the tease factor.
Yeah, like, what does this rhyme with?
Sure.
Like, can it, does it rhyme with smelly or stinky?
Like, Rudy Gay, the basketball player, they definitely were like, we can't name him Ben. Because that's just like,
of course, yeah. Well,
or maybe we do name him Ben and just go, you know what?
Boy named Sue. Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
Own it, you little pussy.
Then when you're done, rub some Ben Gay on it.
Sure. There you go.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode. Brad Williams and Adam Ray here. Just want to tell you guys real quick about one of our new sponsors that we are fucking loving. And I say loving with a capital L and a capital oving.
That's right. Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon.
Heard of them?
Premium menswear. This stuff is so comfortable. They sent us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The underwear is fantastic. And the underwear doesn't make you smell. It's antimicrobial.
I didn't know what that was, a word or a thing.
I had to Google it 4 or 5 different times, but apparently it's awesome.
That to me is always the strong sign of a dope clothing company. A, that has clothes that fit you and are super comfortable. And like, we both got these and we were a little skeptical because they claim to be the most comfortable clothes. And then we both put them on and we're like, oh shit, like the socks are as comfy as the underwear, are as comfy as the hoodies, are as comfy as the sweatpants.
I'm wearing a sock on my dick right now.
Yeah, I know. And I love that about you. You're a sock dick now.
Yep.
And, you know, when they have like antimicrobial things, it just, to me, that's always like they're going above and beyond and really trying to cater clothes and make clothes that are not only comfortable and look good, but like feel good on your body. And that's the whole point of wearing clothes, right?
That's right, Adam. So go to MackWeldon.com and use promo code ALN to get 20% off right now.
That's a lot of percent. And the clothes are so comfortable, if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it anyway, and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Who else does that? Does Quiznos?
No.
Fucking no, man. Go to MackWeldon.com right now. And now back to the episode.
Yeah, but that's definitely something you have to think of. Like, okay, like, is this a stripper name?
Right.
Like,
right.
And
well, my anything's name a stripper is Jack, name. You know, so, yeah. You know, that's...
Great stripper name.
Fucked, yeah. Yeah. No, but it reminds me of a Family Guy joke, which I don't know if it made it, but it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer while they were at the Island of Misfit Toys, and it was a Charlie in a box, and he's like, nobody wants to Charlie off on a girl's chest. So, I don't know. I can't remember, like... I don't remember what makes it to shows and not.
For real?
Yeah, well, a lot of times. Like, that one, I don't think did.
How much can you improvise? Have I what?
Have you heard that? Because I
didn't ring a bell.
I remember the Charlie in a Box character.
Yeah.
I just don't remember if that specific joke. Right.
It wasn't my joke. I love that joke.
How much improvising can you do in the booth? Or are you?
It's usually done in the room. And
okay. I went to one table read, which I'm hoping to.
Oh, cool.
Hit more.
It was another one.
Oh, dude, it was one of the greatest mornings of my life. I mean, it was just like.
Did you get laid first, or?
And then yeah. In the car on the way there.
Okay, good.
And
okay, that's good.
Yeah, and she did it as she came as a greased up deaf guy, and it was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I am gonna leave.
No, but it was like the energy in that room, and I'm sure you can attest to this. Like, it just was.
Oh yeah.
Seems so supportive and like. For like a comic, like for us, like to go to a room where like you know everyone.
Where it's a nice room.
Yeah. Yeah. Where everyone there is maybe like there to either see you or like. Just saw it's a room where it's like, oh, this is a great comedy city, comedy fans, everyone's there like wanting you to win.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, just, I mean, I never laughed so hard.
Cool.
Is it like that all the time?
Hopefully. I mean, you know, or there's some work to do, but yeah, I mean, it's like that a lot. There's,
because you also got to be certain, like, fair about like what's being said. If a joke doesn't hit, you need to hear that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's why you do a table. Yeah. But
you improvise there.
There was a time when Alex Borstein and myself and Seth were always in the room. They were there for a few seasons. And so we would just pitch in character, and John Viner does a lot of voices.
Yeah.
He would do that. And, you know, so we would, you know, it's done there. But generally, by the time you get to the booth, it's locked.
And is that when you have the interactions with the other cast members, is at a table read?
Yes. Yeah, you don't. You record by yourself.
Yeah.
And I live in Virginia, and I just go to a booth. You know,
oh wow! So it's gotten to that point now.
A couple episodes, and then I'll come back out to LA and do a lot.
Yeah.
How long does it take to do a couple episodes?
10 minutes.
Wow.
No. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's a half an hour.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm sure
when
your parts
I did the Cleveland
less.
Show, that was doing the work on that. You know, carrying the vocals on that.
That's ours. And you'll go back and like self edit yourself and kind of.
I'll have the script and I'll have headphones on, and you know, Rich Appel is running the show, or Alex Elkin out here just on the phone.
Oh, cool.
Okay, line 216 on page 40. All right.
Oh, Peter, come on now. Oh, Peter, come on now.
And then, okay, line, you know, next yeah. one. It's like,
it's fucking awesome. It's so amazing to me that that's the tone of when you're doing it, because that just shows you how great the material is, to where it can be said in such a calm, like, setting, and you're not routine. Necessarily playing off it's, each other. And
yeah. Well, you know the spirit of it. And yeah. I mean, you know, you get know the whole character. Scene. So you read it, and you know, and, you know, like, well, all right, so what's going on in the story? You know, you can pretty much, okay, so I get it. You,
yeah, he's scared. He's excited. He's whatever.
But I always, people ask sometimes, like, I'll cue myself with the very first line I ever said as a character. Like, mm-hmm. If I need to get the inflection right, like, I think, oh, sure, I can do that. I can make pretend like little bugs are my way. Wait. It's Peter saying, do you do children's parties? Oh, sure. Oh, sure, I can do that. I can make up a little spider web. I can't fucking remember. I pretend like the children little bugs in my web. And so I'll just cue myself with that and then read the new
yeah.
line. And then
just to try to help you get into the character.
It's just like a reset.
You know? Yeah.
Where did the voice for Cleveland come from?
Cleveland, this was 98, I reckon. I was in Virginia. I was playing basketball with a guy in a public park, and he said, you know, if you, he said, first of all, I'm from Maryland.
And, where?
Maryland.
Where's that?
Outside of College Park, Maryland.
Oh, Maryland.
Yeah, that's what I said at the time. And, that guy over there, he's got a great shot. You make him use his left hand, he's going to miss that shot or he's going to pass. And I'm like, that's cool. Yes, yeah, it's a wonderful park out here. You know, it's just so chill.
And, chill and happy.
Yeah, so, and that just happened to be sort of a good tempering of the boom, 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 boom of Peter and Quagmire and, mm-hmm. and everyone else. And they were just sort of
Joe being very intense and everything. And then just goes over to Cleveland, who's just
right. They had very actually, relaxed. The first line, I don't know if it stayed in, was all of them going rat tat 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 tat, and they're on a fishing boat, and they all laugh, and it's like, ha 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 ha. Oh, sometimes it's nice to enjoy laughter. Just, what the fuck is this guy? Are we really going to hang out with this guy?
Wait, did you have, so how many, like, characteristics of Cleveland did you go into knowing it was going to, like,
who he's he just was a mellow be? Black guy, yeah. you know? And, you yeah. know, and it, to Fox's credit, they let me do it, and there's never been any, you know.
Yeah, I was about to ask, has anyone ever found out you were white and then been upset?
Sometimes, and, you know, just like online stuff, but no one's ever said anything to my face. And ask anyone that I've worked with, including all the cast and writers on the Cleveland show, and it's just like, because there were jokes on the Cleveland show where I'm like, I'm not going to say, you know, can I say this?
Yeah,
so right. I would ask Craig Robinson or Sanaa Lathan or... you know, one of the writers and
Ralph,
you know,
Garman, one of the blackest guys I know.
Yeah. no, but I, you know, it's, I don't live that life. I don't know what it's like to walk right. down the street and get shit just for what you look like.
Has there ever been a black dude that sounds like Cleveland that's like, you do a really great voice of me?
All the fucking time.
I mean, but see, that's a healthy attitude that you have. Whereas there are some people out there that I think that it's kind of like the new character that's in the show I'm Dying Up Here, where he's like a ventriloquist. He's like, no, the puppet's racist.
Right.
I'm not racist.
Right.
And they hide behind that character or that voice or that puppet or whatever it is.
Right.
Just so they can get their own agendas out there. But it sounds like you're the exact opposite, where you're like, oh, I don't want to.
Well, I mean, sure. Offend. I mean, it's not cool. We have not been cool to black people. Folks, for yeah. hundreds of years.
I don't see
it's
the
not...
problem. What's what is this man, you problems you've been
don't
happening?
Fuck yourself, man.
No, it's just, Cleveland just it. Told me to go fuck myself. I'm pretty happy about that. Yeah. But yeah, but that's more of a healthy attitude that you have.
I don't know what else to say. I don't think I've lasted long if I didn't have.
Yeah,
you know, like no, this isn't okay.
Did you anticipate the popularity of Cleveland? Like, do you know the same way? People would say, like, did you know that video was going to go viral? Nobody sets out to make like this. I hope this is like. So you were once you honed in and were like, oh, I'm just. Happy with this character, and then
sure, yeah,
it fits the.
I love doing Cleveland. I let you know he's the easiest one for me to do. I just feel like I'm sort of I relate to him in many ways.
Your natural voice, I think, is closest to him than of the.
My wife and I took our daughter out to Harry Potter World or whatever at Universal today,
nice.
And so she wouldn't get on this fucking ride after we waited for a half hour. I'm like, get on the ride. Oh, she's like, no, nah. She's
it's
like
crazy.
Freaking out. So I had to pull her aside, and I'm like. Get on the ride. I'm like, we came out here. We're not just going shopping for souvenirs. You're going to get on the ride. Blah, blah, blah. And this guy comes up. Hey, are you Mike Henry?
And, yeah, I recognize your voice.
Oh, my Cleveland. God.
And I'm just like, can you go fuck yourself, sir?
I'm trying to discipline my daughter.
Don't you know nothing? There's a time and a place.
Do you ever do that, though, just to, like, yeah, if you are getting, like, tense and you kind of also need to deflect a fan, like,
no.
If you
do,
no.
I don't get that tense, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, right? I mean, have you ever done that, like, have you ever fucked with drive-thru guys? Like, you order as Cleveland and then you show up?
Yeah, or, you know, I'll answer the phone, a wrong number, clearly, that's a telemarketer.
Telemarketers?
Hello? No, I don't want that. No, don't call here anymore. Thank you. Have a great day. Don't call.
Just do the laugh in the end. Right. Like,
so did
oh, Brian, we good.
I hope you die of AIDS.
No, you can go fuck off, you fuck face. I hope you fucking die. Have a great day.
That is the. I would imagine that telemarketer just hangs up the phone and goes, I think I just talked to Cleveland from Family Guy. Like, that guy's real.
Right, right.
So at what point did Seth recognize, like, oh, shit, okay, there's an opportunity to get some
for the
more.
Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the time, Fox was asking, you know, was sort of seeing if he had any interest in doing another animated show. And then we just started talking about it. And then Rich Appel had just joined Family Guy. And so the three of us just sat down and sort of co-created Cleveland. And,
yeah. Was there ever talks of other characters? Because, like we said, the show is so character-driven and character-rich. Was there ever like, well, do we do a Quagmire spinoff? Do we do a Cleveland spinoff?
No, as Seth would say, you know, Quagmire, it would wear thin pretty quick. Quagmire's great to come in and pop. And, you know, we gave it a shot with Cleveland. I'm pretty happy with it.
It was so good, dude.
You know, we did a lot of good stuff, and I wish it could have gone further because we were really just sort of figuring it out.
Sure. Takes a minute, right, to find your legs in a show?
Of course, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like Family Guy, like I think you mentioned, was like year what until you...
About year four. Well, you know, came back from...
Yeah,
from
you had to get canceled once to then come canceled. Back.
We worked in this building on Laurel Canyon in the valley across from a Gelson's, and there was no interaction with anybody. You know, we'd make the shows, they'd go on, and then some politics changed at the network, and they moved the show around and didn't promote it, and so we didn't get any ratings, and we got canceled, and we're like, oh, fuck, you know, that was fun. I'd love to do more. And then... all the DVDs exploded and the late night
you
cable
said 3
ratings.
Million
that was what somebody told me
it was a shit was, ton
yeah. And the internet happened and it was just like duh, and so they brought us back and they ordered 35 episodes, basically a season and a half, and we went to Montreal and did the comedy festival. Mm-hmm. And it was like we're the fucking Beatles. It was unbelievable.
No way.
We're just walking in there and it was, you know, it was the episode, the South episode, where Herbert's first in there. And you know, so it's Seth Green and Mila and Alex and myself. And of course, Seth was just like the biggest rock star. And it was so fucking cool. And we're like, all right. So we finally had some confidence.
So that gave you like the heads up of like, okay. And it's...
And then we just started going for it.
And then they just... great. Like, was there a certain episode into that 35 order where they're like, okay, and five more seasons, please?
I think it was the cold open of the first one back where Peter's talking about, there's just no room on the schedule for us, guys.
Listing all the shows?
Right. It was like literally like 40 shows.
Some of the most brilliant openings to a show.
That had come and gone. And it's so funny because they were all so fresh and everyone had seen the promos and they just fucking died.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And I guess if all of those shows fail, we might have a chance. You know,
where did you watch that like first episode back? Do you remember?
I remember just seeing the animation for that just at the office. But,
I mean, like, did you have like a viewing party with your fam and like, or do you try to downplay that stuff?
No. We had a party out here. That's right. It was at the El Rey Theater.
Oh, nice.
And I guess it was the first time American Dad premiered maybe as well. Okay. So it was, you know, we screened both. So.
And that's got to be a crazy situation where, I mean, because it's sort of like people talk about being on SNL where they're like, well, yeah, once the show's done, you're on to the next one. You're not like,
right.
And in the same way you say, like, I don't see what makes it to air because you're already doing stuff for the next episode.
Right. Yeah. No. And the brain damage that I've given myself.
So doing that voice kills you, or just hanging out in the writer's room kills you?
Both,
a little bit of both. Yeah.
I'm going to Montreal tomorrow. You want to come with me and make me feel like a fucking Beatle?
Sure. No, that's great, man.
It's the best, isn't it?
It
Did
is.
You guys just, I mean, so on Rockstar level, I mean, they were, you just parties and just anything like,
yeah.
Was there certain,
it was
like,
unreal.
Like, what was the most surprising as far as like the way people were treating you?
Well, it didn't happen in Montreal, but the craziest fan experience, other than the guy with the Herbert tattoo, is a pregnant woman had me sign her belly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then so, hoping that it seeped in and then the talent just got to the kid.
Yep. And then I was
comes
like,
out talking like
I
Cleveland.
Like, I was like, honey, you really didn't have to do this.
Now, you say you went to Montreal and you guys are rock stars, but I imagine being a voice guy, that allows you some awesome. Level no, no of being anonymous, yeah. where that's the only time, like, you...
By the way, Brad just got to the business. It is voice guy, right?
That yeah,
is the,
voice guy?
I don't know what the fuck
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, voice artist.
Voice actor. Voiceover artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but like that, like, because... Whereas someone else, Seth walks around now and he's gotten to be so he's recognizable blown up, yeah. that he has no anonymity.
Sure, yeah. We'll be right back with more Brad Camp pronounce words.
and then we'll be right back with more Brad. Adam can explain that Brad can't pronounce words.
It's like being a Muppet performer, right? It's like where you
sure.
people
with a less tired hand.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, unless I've been on the road by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But like you get right, gets to a certain, like you said, that guy recognized you at Universal Studios. But like I'm sure, like the
randomly
show,
randomly you can sort of tell, but it doesn't happen that much. And I also don't see myself as, you know, I'm not walking around, hey, I'm hot shit, you know, like
yeah. Have you ever been?
I mean, I've got an entourage and I'm, you know,
yeah,
tinted Mercedes.
You did that big purple coat you walked in with. Was right. like a little flashy, but also like appropriate for the season.
Right. Yeah.
Purple's in right now. That wasn't
July.
A fucking.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, have you ever been pulled over by a cop and tried to use the voice to get out of a ticket?
No.
Okay.
No.
Would you?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's a story I'm not going to tell.
Yeah, for sure.
It was pre Family Guy.
Got it. Yeah, but yeah, so, like stuff like that. Where I mean, are you the type of guy who, like, if there's a long line, you'll be like, oh, they don't know I'm somebody. I'm the voice of Cleveland, and they like do
hey!
It.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Well, you mentioned you were a big Cowboys fan. So have you, like, to me, the coolest part about really like climbing up in this business is when you get to, like, I just did a podcast with Michael Rappaport in Seattle and he had Sean Kemp on, right?
Nice.
So like the fucking greatest day ever.
Right.
And getting to hang with him and like make jokes with him and him tell me like he liked my stand up after was like, oh dude, like game over.
That's cool.
So I can only imagine that you've gotten opportunities to meet some of these dudes, yeah? Because no one is not a fan of Family Guy.
I met Tony Romo at a party of Seth's a few years ago.
Dope.
And he was cool as shit. He was just so nice and wanted a picture with me or he videoed me doing the voices.
Oh my.
So I'm like, this is fucking surreal. And same thing, I met we went to Miami for spring break, got off the plane in Fort Lauderdale, and there's Ezekiel Elliott. And I'm like, what's up, Zeke? And he like looks at me and goes, I'm Cleveland from Family Guy. And he like stopped and looked and then he like, you know,
put it together.
Yeah. And so we went and talked to him and my kid got a picture with him and
dude.
So did I.
That's
and
awesome.
Then the best of the best was I was down in Miami to see U2 last month.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joshua Tree tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
I fucking love the Joshua Tree. And my bro Patrick, I should say, my brother passed away in January. And he and I did a lot of comedy together. And he had diabetes and terrible complications and all this crap. But Patrick was the biggest U2 fan in the fucking world. And so, you know, we had a bunch of friends and family go see them. And then I went, you know, to took a trip by myself to see them for the first time to just sort of process it all. And I emailed Larry Mullen Jr., who was on, you know, came by the Cleveland show a couple times to hang out. And he said, come to this club after. And so it's 1 a.m, I'm in Miami by myself and just go and I'm talking to Larry's assistant, and there's Bono and Edge hanging out, and then
dude.
Larry's coming in, and then so Bono comes up and is talking to the girl that I'm talking to, and she introduces me as, you know, Mike from Family Guy. Oh, I love Family, you know, he's like, he loves Family Guy.
Oh, and my God.
And I told him the story about my brother and he was cool as shit. And then you know, I'm like, can I, you know, mind if I grab a picture? And he's like, yeah, I want one too. And I'm just like, holy fuck.
Dude, like, Bono.
Yeah. So that's me bragging. And but that's not even
I would
bragging.
Open it's with that show. Story. It's lying in the grocery store.
Right.
No, dude. Yeah, that's
it was
insane.
Unbelievable. It was fucking unbelievable.
And from everything I've heard, and I actually had the honor to actually interview Bono one time, he's so, like, gracious with his time, and he makes anyone he's talking to feel like that's the most important person.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It was true. And he knew, you know, he knew I was hurting a little bit, and he just gave me a big hug, and he was just, he was cool as shit.
Did he quote anything or ask you about the show at all, or was he just trying to play
I
cool?
No, I busted out some voices for him, and then I sang.
Does he have a cool laugh?
Take my hand, you know I'll be there if you can. I'll cross the sky for your love.
Oh my God.
That is awesome.
God, and then I walked off with my finger in the air like Larry Bird.
Just like that was my shot.
That was the game. Oh my God, dude.
It was awesome. It was unbelievable.
How do your, I mean, kids, two you said?
I have two.
How old are they?
Jack's 13, Josie's 9.
I mean, great age to be like experiencing like this type of shit.
Jack's
with you,
starting
right?
to get it. He's been around, you know, he's seen this and that from myself, but now all his buddies are really into Family Guy.
What is that like? And, the coolest, right?
It's cool. Yeah, no, like a few years ago we had Kanye West on the Cleveland show, and I think Jack was maybe 8 or 9 at the time, and I'm like, yeah, this is my son Jack. He's like, hey, little man, how you feeling? And like gives him a handshake. Jack's like, good.
And was he not impressed?
Will I? Yeah, I think he was. Okay. But he, you know, he's like,
how do you process Kanye meet and greets at 8?
Yeah,
like
you don't.
Yeah,
and I gotta say, Kanye was cool as shit.
Dope.
He showed up on time with one guy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a big posse thing where we're like catering to him. He was in there pitching jokes. I had an ESPN moment where I'm walking down the hall and I hear him rapping, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I look, and like there's like 3 writers in an office just sort of pinned to the couch looking up at him as he's like practicing some shit on him that he's going to go perform.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Do you find that a lot too with people that have come through where it's like, I mean, I think with anybody you have to like deal on your own account, right? With like somebody... You can hear all this hearsay of like, this person's this way. And there might be some truth to it, but it's like, all right, well, that shit didn't, it wasn't to me. It didn't affect me. Like, I'm going to deal with them.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you got to do that because you know, Kanye didn't get a heck of a lot of great press. And, you know, he was completely respectful, enjoyed the jokes and, you know, pitched stuff and didn't care if it went in or not. You know, he was just collaborating.
And that's something you don't hear too often about him.
Yeah, no, he was great.
Is there advice that you ever give to, I don't know, any voice actors or like people? I'm sure people hit you up all the time, right? Like asking, like, I'm just starting out. Like,
yeah.
What's...
I find the next huge comedy superstar that's going to have an animated show. No, make them laugh.
No Seth MacFarlane before he's famous.
It's so hard because I tried voiceover before that, and I actually auditioned. I think I had like 100 auditions in between when Family Guy was canceled and when it came back, and I didn't book anything.
Wow.
And it's truly, I always tell people, writers, actors, write your own stuff, you know, and that applies to voiceover as well. But if you're just trying to do voiceover, I'd say do a 60, 90 second demo, 10 seconds of your absolute best of each character, and throw in a little sound design in the background to make it sound like it was produced, and, you know, and don't give up. Just get it out.
Pass it around. Anybody. Throw it up on YouTube. Just
absolutely.
Let something happen.
Keep hammering it out there.
As much as we all love Family Guy, and we could talk about Family Guy, Cleveland Show forever.
Yeah.
You're in a new show coming out. Orville.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I got a big old alien head on me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I saw your Instagram. I'm like, how many hours in the makeup chair is that?
Two hours. And they put a big old head on me, and then the neck, and then the face, and they paint around the eyes, and it's all glued on, and it's extraordinary. I mean, the guy that designed it all won Howard, and I'm spacing on his last name. He's got a couple Oscars. One of them was for the Narnia.
Yeah, and, I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
and then the guy who actually applied it to me did Bad Grandpa with Johnny Knoxville and should have won the Oscar.
That
was fantastic makeup.
Yeah, also underrated movie.
Yes, no, it's great.
Very hard.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
yeah. Johnny Knoxville did Family Guy, and I just jumped in to take a picture with him, and he freaking popped me in the nuts with the back of his hand right as the picture's being taken. So,
you know what, though? But, all right.
Yes,
sort of the way, like, if you meet Doug Benson, you have to get high with Doug Benson.
Right.
If you meet Johnny Knoxville, he has to punch you in the balls.
And, you know, about 90 seconds into that, I realized that this was an honor.
But right after it happened. But, yeah, this show is...
Oh, yeah, Orville.
Yeah, it's basically if Star Trek was a comedy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of drama in it too, but there's a lot of comic relief. So I mean, the set is unbelievable. It's just takes up this whole hangar over at Fox, a whole studio building.
Crazy.
And
it's awesome.
And you know, it's Seth and Adrian Palicki and Scott Grimes Jay Lee, who came up through Family Guy and the Cleveland Show, and I can't remember everybody else's name, but it's a cool cast, and it's just cool as shit, and I get to be like comic relief.
Is it crazy that, I mean, how much acting did you, you said you a ton of auditions before?
I'm an actor, dude. I do on camera stuff. I don't know if you ever saw Kicked in the Nuts that my brother and I used to do.
No,
you've never seen Kicked in the Nuts?
No,
the orange afro.
The big orange wig.
Oh
yeah.
Shit,
that was you.
Yeah, that's me.
Wait, were you the guy kicking people in the nuts?
Yes.
I have so many questions about
that.
Oh
my god! All right.
First of all, it's fake.
Okay, that was my first question.
Yeah. Steve Agee was in there, and a ton of Family Guy guys. Yep. Craig Robinson did it. Seth did it. Yep. Seth Green did it. Like, it's all staged.
If people don't know what we're talking about,
Google kicked in the nuts. Pilot episode.
Look for the guy who's in a bright orange wig.
Yeah.
And like basically like a skater outfit. I don't know. Like
it's like a
tracksuit. Outfit.
It's like a green.
Yeah, and just know that when we were in college, that video went around, and like no one knew if it was real or not.
Right.
Now I guess we all know
so
it's fake.
So many angry comments on there. I would fucking kill you, man.
Right.
Like, and then so I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to keep doing this. You know, like I don't want some fucking random guy coming and jacking me up.
Yeah.
But I've done that, and my brother and I did a ton of short films, mm-hmm. and I just actually shot and pilot independently last fall. That I wrote and directed and acted in, and it's actually turning into a feature at this point,
dude.
I have to do it.
Well, and the thing I respect about guys like you and guys like Seth and I'm amazed at this is that people that have amazing successes and there's not they have that motor that keeps working.
Yeah,
like you could sit back and knock on wood, Family Guy is going to be one of those shows that just, it can run forever, like
the
Simpsons
don't
is doing
age. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, you could just sit back and be like, yeah, I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to collect checks, and it's going to be great. But no, you're still set. Makes movies and new TV shows.
Yeah, what keeps keeps you going?
I wanted to do it. I mean, you know, it was unfinished business for me, and it still is. You know, just mm-hmm. doing the on camera stuff. I embarked to LA when I was 24 because I wanted to be the next Chevy Chase, Steve Martin.
Nice.
You know, those guys were at the height of their game, and they inspired me, and that's why I came out here. I did some stand up. I took the Judy Carter stand up comedy workshop.
Oh, man.
And this was
1991.
And like I said, I did some sketch and Groundlings and stuff like that. And so I got sort of sidetracked into the animation thing wonderfully.
Yeah.
And I've run a show. I've gotten to, I know the business, and mm-hmm. but my face is fresh. Nobody knows it at all.
Yeah. And even this new show, you're like, do you ever want to go to Seth? Like, hey, buddy, can you put me on camera for
can
once?
I guest stars myself?
But I want to do that. Again, it's writing for yourself. Like, I got the thing. It's a nice, tight, packed snowball that I want it to be. Steve Agee plays my brother. As basically, he's sort of Spalding from Caddyshack.
Oh,
you can imagine Agee clean shaven, with hair parted, and a blue blazer driving an old red Volvo.
So you won't recognize him.
right. And Jenny Wade, I don't know if you know, she plays my love interest. And
how is it like being on that big ass set? I mean, is it just like
a
big playground of fun?
Oh, yeah. It's cool as shit, man. It's unbelievable. I mean, they've mm-hmm. got like all these interactive screens that are panels in the ship, and a lot of them actually work.
I'm so amazed that this concept hasn't really been done. Like Galaxy Quest, but that was sort of like their actors playing the people on the show.
Right.
I feel like it's so ripe for comedy and
right. People tried, but just Trekkie fans like boycotted the.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I mean, Seth's show is smart, Orville. There's, mm-hmm. You know, it's just smart. That's the best word for it. And it's, you know, again, it's drama and comedy. And I think it's going to get funnier as it goes on because you got to lay the groundwork for the characters. And once you do that, then you can make, you know, you can, again, make the comedy come out of the character.
Does Seth let you chime in with this experience, too, now that, because like you said, after running Cleveland Show, like, you got a real strong sense of just...
Right.
Because you were at the helm, right?
Oh, yeah. No, so, I pitched, they wrote a, there was a little bit I shot last week, and, you know, I read it out loud, and I wasn't sure about it when I read it, and I was like, we broke for lunch, and he's like, yeah, go, yeah, do you mind writing another line? And I'm just like, sure.
Dope.
So,
so he trusts you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and I mean, hell, you guys have been together now, working together for so many years. It's like, wow, if he didn't trust you at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, he's the fucking man. We were down in Comic-Con this weekend, just had a blast.
Are you God there?
He is.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just sort of like Mark. know.
Did you guys do a panel?
We
for
did a
him?
Panel. Yeah.
I went to a, when you guys did Family Guy Lives, remember those?
Oh, heck yeah.
I went to one at the Wiltern. I think it might have been my freshman or sophomore year at SC. And it was like, I mean,
it's
again,
like
it was
06 or so, somewhere. Yeah. 05, 06.
Yeah. I think it was, 05 maybe. Yeah. So it was like, you know, only a couple years removed since like things just popped. And it was like,
that's how this the Montreal thing was. We did New York, and then we did Chicago, we did Toronto, and then we went to Carnegie Hall. And,
jeez, you've played Carnegie Hall.
I played Carnegie Hall. That's I sang Somewhere That's Green as Herbert with a 40-piece orchestra by myself, and my voice cracked because I was out till 4 in the morning the night before with my wife. We went to see Saturday Night Live, and we were hanging out at these parties.
Yeah,
and,
you can say those parties all night. Yeah.
I was wrecked, and I, you know, and I knew it, and I was trying to warm up, and I was like in the stairwell trying to just warm up, and I almost got it there, and it's like, there's plastic, and my voice just cracked on the fucking shit. That's what I did, and everybody's like, so it didn't. Oh, it did, it,
yeah, of course,
it
was, they love you.
It, no, it was like the Dean Martin thing. Yeah. It's like everybody just, they want us to fuck up.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Some of the best comedy ever on The Tonight Show is when Johnny Carson would fuck up a joke and then save it.
Exactly.
So the fact, he would be like, I can't do the voice, but fuck, you know, and just like get mad at character. Yeah, I'm sure they went insane.
How many nerves were there for those Family Guy live things, or was it just so? Because that was the one thing I noticed was that you guys are so, even live like that, because you say you, I assumed you weren't recording together, so to see you guys have that great give and take live.
I mean at this point I know, you know, we all know each other so well, and I love doing stuff with Alex Borstein because she gets so dirty. And we did this panel the other day at Comic-Con, and I was talking with somebody, just, you know, we're like, that's our element, you know. We've all done a lot of stage and comedy stuff, you know, sketch or stand up, and so we're ready to pounce. And like I went to the Twin Peaks panel, which was cool as shit.
Because you're a big David Lynch fan.
I love David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Yeah.
I have the show Twin Peaks.
I love it. You're on it.
Watch the show.
I love it.
It's weird as fuck.
Pretty much. But yeah, and so there, you know, that's a different deal because they're all actors and they're all dramatic.
Yeah.
And it was totally satisfying in a completely different way, just hearing you know, them all talk about David, basically. And,
thank you for liking my show.
Exactly. I love it.
By the way, and I've said this on a couple of podcasts, any impression I do is an impression of Ralph Garman doing that impression.
Ralph moderated our panel.
Did he?
Of course
he
did.
The best.
He's unbelievable talent.
I love Ralph.
Crazy amazing. And
he does a bunch of stuff for the show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do it for Cleveland Show, too?
Some, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now, when a guy comes in like that, is it like, I mean, you're just like, hey, you're doing this, and do you know if they prep beforehand, or they just see it the day of? Or
I'm sure he just sees it the day of.
He figures it out.
He's been around the block.
Yeah.
With men.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ralph. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
You know what? It's something we've known. Yeah. I mean, the guy wears a leather jacket every day.
Yep.
Yeah, what are you compensating for?
And I wouldn't judge him if he had been around the block.
Yeah.
He's still a fan of me.
I like it.
That is called sodomy.
We have a tradition with people that can do voices.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And,
well, I want to know real quick.
Oh, yeah,
sure. At the live Family Guy Live thing, one thing that was really awesome, and I want to know if this happens at Comic-Con too, when you guys take questions from the audience, like you get, that to me, for you guys, must be one of the most entertaining elements of these
smelling
things.
Smelling blood, yeah.
Because it's just like the people, I don't know if it's the people who get up there to do the questions or they have the people picking them, but like it's always just the most charactery of human beings with voices that sound like they should be voices themselves. And I remember one guy got up there and he started to do, I think, a Quagmire impression, and then Seth was like, oh yeah, good. He goes, pretty good. He goes, you know, I do it too, but you know, that was like, there was some moment, I can't remember what it was, but it was something with you and a guy trying to do a Cleveland voice too, and you just so beautifully, like, again, kind of what Seth did, like kind of put him in his place, but like commenting on it and like letting the guy have his moment.
Right.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Good though. You're terrible. That's nice. Next.
That happens a lot though, yeah?
Sure.
Dude, are people just, is it weird to see like grown men just so like fucking excited to like,
I mean, like
I see them, they're nervous when asking questions. It's kind of adorable.
You know what I love? And just coming off of Comic-Con, and I said this on our panel, I fucking love it. I love people's passion for this. We did a little tribute to Adam West. And at my first Comic-Con, I went on the floor and I saw Adam West talking to Lou Ferrigno, And I was like, this is fucking great. And everybody is, you know, everybody's so passionate. It's so American. It's like just the ultimate freedom to be able to be just your fucking freak self and go do it. And so I love that. I absolutely understand how fortunate I am to be in this position. And
so
you
it doesn't
be,
bother you when people say, like, you're Mike Henry. Do the voice. Like,
No? Everybody's got their shit in life, you know? Yeah. It's like, it is what it is. And, you know, you just got to be nice and you know, tell
yeah,
to
we
fuck
all
off.
Yeah,
just tell them to fuck off. And life, and, you know,
yeah, we all get that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Just,
I mean,
you know what?
People come up to me all the time and say, "Be a dwarf," and I'm like, "All right,
fuck."
I guess I'll do that for you. I'll work on it.
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about how we met too with Kevin Biggins. So,
he's texting me right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I told him I was on my way over.
He did mention a few. I mean, first of all, thank you for coming by. This is like
beyond awesome,
and like the fact that you're just so cool too is like, you know, cherry on top. He did mention a few things. He did say, ask what is a dry thumb, what's the best way to keep it dry.
Oh, fuck a duck. Yeah. this is a bit we had in the Cleveland show writer's room, and you know, it's, you know, I'll preface it by saying it's that I don't give a fuck if anybody has a problem with it. It's sort of a guy's joke.
Yeah,
you know, what Trump would call locker room talk.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we would.
So I'm gonna love this story.
Yes,
I'm gonna love it. It's gonna be fantastic. The best story ever.
Stop. it has something to do with a certain sexual position that dogs might do.
Sure.
Okay.
And missionary.
Something
missionary.
With the way that a part of a woman's anatomy may be presented to you as if it were the carburetor of a bomb.
What a great way to describe that.
That was the cleanest.
And then you release the thumb.
Sure.
But you got to keep it dry. And it's
that was the cleanest description for one of the dirtiest things you could do.
That's awful.
That's fantastic.
He also, that's amazing, lacing the football story that made us seem...
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Again, these are like things where
you know that term, right?
Yeah.
Okay, lacing the football, yeah. So that, yeah. When I mimed jumping up off of my chair to turn around and lace a football, she literally gagged. Asim Bacha, who is wonderful and was one of our writers.
Fantastic. So when we have somebody on who, like yourself, is a voice extraordinaire, like we prank call a Thai restaurant that I order from.
Okay.
And we do it as, like, Dana Carvey did as Paul McCartney. Jonathan Kai did as Jeff Bridges.
And
Gary Spears did it as
various rappers. But I think it was DMX. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I don't know. And you could pick anyone that you want to. I mean,
okay. I would say, I mean, I'm going to vote for Cleveland, and also I feel like based on you describing like what is most comfortable vocally right now.
I'll do Cleveland.
Yeah, I think that'd be amazing. All right, I'm going to hand you the phone, and if you don't mind, let's put it on speaker, and you can hold it into the... yeah.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, I'd like to place an order.
For pickup?
Yeah, I'll pick it up.
Can I have your phone number, please?
My number is 323-356-3003. I'm calling from my friend's phone now, so it don't match. Oh, do you need to get that? Did you need to get that? Is everything okay?
Yes.
Hi.
What was your charter?
Pad Thai with shrimp.
Okay.
Can you put a mollusk in there? Other mollusks.
What was that?
Mollusk.
Mollusk?
Hello?
Yes?
May I order broccoli?
Do you want broccoli?
Broccoli.
Do you want to add to the pad thai?
Let's see, maybe, maybe
a... broccoli on the side?
Yes, please, on the side.
Okay.
May I also get a side of mollusk?
What is that?
Mollusk?
I don't think we have it.
Oh. How about caviar?
Should I be off for you?
Actually, y'all don't do a burger, do you?
No.
Okay. Fries? Do you do French fries? Freedom fries? When we were angry?
Rice.
Who did?
We do crab fried rice.
Okay. Milkshake?
No.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to pass.
I'm sorry?
You sound very nice. This has been Cleveland Brown. I love you.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yes.
There we go.
Fucking dude, I can't.
I hope
you
actually buy stuff from them.
I get them great business.
Constantly.
I get great soup from them.
Like, oh, it's good?
Yeah, dude. All
right.
Yeah. It's,
do you tip them? You stiff them?
Oh, dude, I take
you.
It. I take it.
You go to an improv class, lady.
The creator, you know, you ever watch Rick and Morty?
Yes.
So the guy who did that show came on and
Justin
did
Roland,
it as Rick and Morty, but they the woman handed it off to a manager, and then he got on and got real pissed, and then hung up on us.
That's hilarious. Those Phil Hendry things are the best.
Right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What shows do you, I mean, are you, obviously just being in the business, but I'm sure you consume so much, but is it one of those things where you, when you do it so much, you don't want to watch, or do you?
I just don't freaking watch too much TV. I'll watch like Bill Maher or just like the most boring, not that that's boring, but we'll just watch like whatever.
Yeah.
Well, because you also have to be sort of know what's going on.
Well, I'm running around. I'm doing, you know, I got a family. I got, doing stuff that I want to do. And, you know, I'm definitely watching Twin Peaks, which I love.
Yeah.
And,
thank you.
What do you think about, TV from when Family Guy was really popping, like, and now, I mean, come on, like,
thank God there's so many platforms for it. I mean, you know, it's Family Guy's worldwide, and it's, you know, in infinite platforms right now. So I don't know how anything makes it. I honestly don't. But the whole process and the notes and the politics and everything else, and, you know, I guess every once in a while a big old light just shines through and makes it. I always look at the British Office as, you know, that's how Ricky Gervais got to be Ricky Gervais.
Yep. Yeah.
Because the two of those guys had no money. They didn't get fucked with. They had to shoot it like a documentary for out of necessity. And then that becomes a whole thing, which I can't stand how the camera's not a fucking actor. I don't want to like push in for a punchline and a mug.
No.
You know, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And not that any shows do that.
Yeah.
Watching old stuff. Chevy was the man.
Come on, dude.
You know, back, you know, Fletch. Caddyshack is just
one of the greatest comedies of all time.
And, heard so many great stories about that set. I met with a guy once who was a PA on that film, and, you know, it was his first Hollywood job, and he was just picking up coke all day. And
so it's like, oh, so this is what it's like. You just get here, and your first job is one of the greatest films of all time?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. In the spirit of James Lipton, personally, I have one last question to ask, and that's, if heaven exists, mm-hmm. what does Consuela want God to say when she gets to the pearly gates?
Yes.
No, but like...
Yes.
Yeah, but like, what does he want him to say?
God, can someone else clean up now?
Wait, I want one more.
God, okay.
This next question is for Herbert. Herbert,
yes.
What is your favorite curse word?
Cock.
Why?
Dude, thank you so much.
You're the best.
Yeah.
The fact that this even came like in the realm of possibility was like mind blowing, man.
Shit,
so
man.
For making time, like, I know you're not out here a lot, like, big time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I love what you do. I love your site. I love
thanks,
all of it. Yeah, and I'm gonna pick your brain in a minute.
Yeah,
because I want to put something up.
Fuck yeah!
But
and Orville,
Orville premieres September 10th,
yep. Right
opposite the Cowboys Giants. So I'll be recording
nice,
it. I told Seth that I was like, "Wait, when's the premiere? September? Ooh,
good time? For me.
Nine?
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be busy that day.
No, but
and Family Guy. New
October 1st, I believe.
This is season...
Season 15 will start airing. We're producing season 16.
Holy shit.
That's fucking bonkers, by the way.
Yeah,
right?
And I will not sit here and just totally diss Orville's scheduling time and act like it's not a fucking awesome show.
Of course, dude.
But
the anticipation behind it is is big.
Oh, it's great. I mean, yeah. It really is.
And what a great time we live in where a guy like Seth can make it in TV, progress and go to film, and then come back to TV and still creating. It's like there's not that stigma of once you're in movies, you have to be in movies anymore.
He's still doing these albums, too. He is doing everything that he loves to do. And I'm, you know, psyched for him.
Do you go to I hear he pops up at like karaoke bars. Do you ever go?
Oh, I used to do that all the time.
Oh, really? Was that? It was the
Brass Monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your karaoke go to?
Some Billy Idol, Little Eyes Without a Face, some Andy Gibb, I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Nice.
And
what is
Roy Orbison.
What is Cleveland's go to?
Probably let's see. I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wind up far from me, I want to feel you in my loins again. Just kidding. No, but it's fun to sing.
Thank you so much.
You're the best, dude.
Cool. Thanks, guys. So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.